You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 308. Today's our typical Monday podcast, and do retweet this episode for a chance to win a free box of Fan Essential gear for your favorite sports teams. More details to follow, but this is the episode that you'll need to retweet to be entered to win that. We'll be giving one away every week, and we'll be announcing the winner on Thursdays. And it'll be pinned to the top of our Twitter page, so it'll be easy to find. Episode 308. Anyway, Randall, we've got lots to discuss today. The last while, our podcasts have been really short because we've been doing the countdown to kickoff episodes, but this one's going to be a little bit different, back to more of the just more content to discuss. Obviously, fall camp. Notre Dame is at Culver. We're going to get to that, get to Brian Kelly's press conference. But something of note is that Notre Dame was ranked number 3 in the all-time, not just for this year, but in the all-time college football poll, and they got some negative feedback from that, primarily from Colin Cowherd went off about it. He said that Notre Dame...
Does he ever not go off about something?
And I do love Colin Cowherd. I love listening to him. And he said Notre Dame is Iowa with academics.
How did he come up with that?
That, well, pretty much looking at wins...
You mean last year's team?
No, this is all time. So just, I think he said if you compare the last 10 years, Notre Dame's wins to Iowa's wins, they're very similar.
Okay.
But one point he made, he said the teams he would have thought about would have been Alabama, Ohio State, and I believe USC is what he said.
Who was the number one team? Wasn't it Ohio State?
Ohio State. So Ohio State, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Alabama, USC at number 5. Then it's Nebraska, Michigan, Texas, Florida State, Florida to round out the top 10.
See, when I saw that Ohio State was number 1, I didn't read any further than that because there's no reason that they should be number 1.
You would pick Alabama?
Alabama, yeah.
But keep in mind, this is all time.
I know. But they are a powerhouse. Even USC has a better history than Ohio State. All Ohio State has done in the last 30 years is play cupcake teams and stumbled across a couple of national championships.
And destroyed Notre Dame multiple times in the process.
Well, I guess that would put, maybe that's why they put them at number 1. But I just, when I saw that, I was like, this is just some joke, just somebody trying to get you to click on the article and read it.
This is done by the AP.
Okay.
We also wanted to discuss the coaches' poll, Randall. Where is Notre Dame ranked on that?
Well, the first coaches' poll came out this past week, and Notre Dame is at number 9, so they are in the top 10. So I honestly wasn't sure where they would be in the first poll. I hadn't given it much thought, but I thought they might be. I didn't think they would be in the top 10.
I didn't either. I figured they'd be closer to 15.
Yeah, between 10 and 15 somewhere. But they did crack the top 10, which hasn't been good in past years. When they've been ranked high, they end up not doing as good. When they've been ranked low, they surprise everybody. I think 2012 was one of the years that they were ranked the lowest, and they came in and surprised everybody.
Were they unranked in 2012?
I almost think they were, but I'd have to go back and check.
I'm pretty sure they were, but can't guarantee it.
But it is the first poll. Nobody really knows. We're going off last year, and I guess with all the players that Notre Dame lost would be a big reason, you know, that I thought they wouldn't be in the top 10. But hey, I'm not going to complain. You got that number 9 that looked pretty good in front of the Notre Dame.
Well, and there's still a question mark on defense. Maybe more than even last year when you had Jalen Smith coming back. So, all right, are you ready to move on and talk about fall camp?
The one thing I will throw in there before we start is this happened even before fall camp started, was Alize Jones being out for the year. The news broke on that. And honestly, it's almost becoming the norm. I think it's been the last 3 years that there's been a player has been suspended before the season started. And then you also had Everett Colson in 2013, so it skipped. So for the last 5 years, you've had a guy out before fall practice even started. So it's almost becoming the norm. But what was your reaction when you heard that?
Well, I was very disappointed because I do think it will affect the game. They're not. They don't have a dynamic guy at tight end who can stretch the field. They have solid pass catchers, very good blockers. But as far as someone being dynamic where they can move him around, stretch the field, they don't have that anymore.
But I see where you're coming from. But at the same time, I don't think it's as devastating as what people think just because...
We've had worse situations at tight end.
Oh, by far. And... Really, what are you replacing? You're losing Alize Jones. Obviously, he was supposed to have a breakout year, but what did he actually contribute? Last year, he had zero touchdowns, and so this year, he'll have the same amount of touchdowns he did last year.
And Brian Kelly made a point of that in the press conference. But we've had, at least there's that weapon that teams need to watch out for. And do you remember when Ben Koyak was the starting tight end? I mean, I feel like we're in a better situation than we were at that point. But I think it's more like that than other years.
I will throw this in there. I would bet money that Notre Dame's stat, they knew this was coming after spring, and they used this to convince Tyler Luatua to come back.
I would agree with you.
And maybe that was part of the reason for switching Matuska.
Oh.
So... I don't know. It's hard to tell, but even with the Greg Bryant situation, that'd been the same way. I mean, they probably knew for a long time already that he wasn't going to make the grades, and they were taking steps to in preparation for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Alize Jones is doing a good job. He tweeted out and said that he's not going anywhere. He's made a mistake, and he's got to he's going to focus on his grades and doing better, and he'll come back better than ever next year. And even on the first day of practice, he's the first guy out there and he's the last guy to go in. He was even running routes on his own. Nobody was throwing a ball. There was no defense. I think it looked kind of funny because some of his teammates were tweeting some interesting things about him running around, and no one was even close to him.
Well, I hope he keeps that attitude up and that positive spirit up, because it's going to be tougher midway through the season. It's going to be a lot tougher.
Yeah, exactly.
No, at that point, no one's going to be talking about him.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready to move on then?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to talk just in general, Notre Dame as a team, and then talk about the offense and the defense and special teams. So as a team, Brian Kelly was asked, what is a good year? And he said, getting to the playoff. That's what a good year is. And he thinks that they're settled into their defense. The players are more comfortable with it. He loves the quarterback situation. And he mentioned the growth of the team and an attitude change since spring. And I don't know what he's referring to with that, but there was obviously maybe a little bit of dissatisfaction or just not a positive attitude from the team.
Not as focused, maybe.
Yeah, I guess it could have been focused too. As far as leadership, he was asked who's going to step up with that, and the coaches did put a lot of effort into this. I've never been sure how much they're involved, if they just sit back and watch, but I guess they do set up meetings, and they do try to put guys in situations or positions to emerge as leaders. And some of those guys were James Onuwalu, Cole Luke, Isaac Rochelle, McGlinchey, Hunter, the quarterbacks, and some of these names aren't surprising. I think James Onuwalu... And definitely Rochelle and McGlinchey. We've seen that coming for a while.
Well, he even mentioned that Rochelle kind of stepped into Sheldon Day's role of just being that leader and, helping the other guys and just being more vocal.
Does it surprise you? You think Torrey Hunter, could he be a captain this year?
He's definitely the veteran player on the
just saying very little.
In the receiver side of the ball, and he hasn't actually even played that much.
Who's more likely, Cole Luke or Torrey Hunter?
Cole Luke. Cole Luke is a veteran that has experience, has a lot of game time experience. I just don't think that Torrey Hunter's at that point yet.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. All right, we want to talk about who's out and some of the injuries. We'll save that for a little bit later. As far as Alzay Jones being suspended, Brian Clay was asked what the counterpunch is to that on the recruiting trail, and he just said, it's tough. as far as telling the players and the parents that, you know, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, and I think they do a good job making sure the players know that. They don't beat around the bush. They just tell them straight up that it's, you know, it takes a lot of work. And I think the recruits, you know, like that when they're just upfront about it, it's less likely to have a negative impact on them. And so I think I don't think it'll really affect them. I think the guys are going to commit, you know, that's not going to be a big issue.
All right, since we're talking about recruiting, let's talk a little bit about Bleacher Report 2. This is a huge deal. I don't know how it's going to look. I don't know if it's going to be closer to Showtime or what it's going to look like. But Brian Kelly was excited about it and excited because of recruiting. This is going to be a tool for Notre Dame for recruiting. And it's not going to be just on TV. You're going to be able to look at it, view it on your phone. So he sounded pretty excited about it, and I think it could be a pretty powerful tool for Notre Dame.
Well, I think they're definitely doing it to target the recruits. It was mentioned that Showtime, you know, you can't just go into your phone and look at it, like you said, but it'll be easy for recruits and players to check up on Notre Dame instantly with the app, and obviously Bleacher Report seems to be everywhere. But one of the interesting things about Bleacher Report is that the CEO, the founder, Dave, I don't know how to say his last name, Finocchio, something like that. He was actually a Notre Dame grad. He graduated from Notre Dame in 2005. So he was actually from Notre Dame, has a connection there. And we know that Notre Dame always does a good job of, you know, keeping in touch with students and players that have been at Notre Dame, even the coaches. But I think that had a lot to do with it, just him being from Notre Dame is probably an easy thing to do. And obviously Bleacher Report, I mean, they're huge. They've grown so much in the last couple of years. A couple of years ago, you wouldn't have known who they were. And now, actually, I think it was a couple of years ago, they couldn't even get credentials to be at Notre Dame. And now they're mass. Everybody knows who Bleacher Report is. Recruits are using it to make their commitment videos. And they just seem to be everywhere. So it'll be interesting to see how this is going to work out. I think it's more the entertainment part. It's not, you know, like Showtime was more of a story just showing behind the scenes. I think this will be a little bit more of the entertainment and targeting those young recruits.
Let's talk a little bit about who's out for the spring. And thankfully, the numbers are small. Alize is out due to academics.
Blankenship. You mean out for this fall?
Well, out for either the fall or just out for a few weeks.
Okay, you said the spring.
Oh, so sorry. Okay. Sorry. Blankenship is seeking a transfer. And then some of the guys that are injured that are just out for a little bit of time yet. Justin Brent is out for 4 to 6 weeks. Devin Butler is still out, and I don't know what the time frame is for him. He suffered his injury over the summer. And Nick Watkins is pretty much back. He mentioned him, but he's pretty much back.
It looked like he was doing everything everybody else was, so he should be fine. Justin Brent, that was kind of a surprise. That could have a big effect on him just because he's already trying to catch up with the other guys, and this just sets him back even more. But I was surprised. Do you know how much eligibility he has left?
It's at least 2 years.
This year plus 2 more years.
Okay.
It seems like he's been around a lot longer than that. So hopefully one of these times he can actually make a good impact on the team. But it's definitely, this just makes it harder for him with this injury. It just makes it that much harder for him to get playing time.
I don't know what it is, because everyone raves about his athletic ability. And even Brian Kelly did when he was a freshman, just talked about how he looks so mature.
Yeah.
But not able to find a spot, and definitely this injury.
I remember talking about him. We expect him to be able to play right away, make an impact as a freshman.
Did we?
Well, he had a chance to do that, but he just didn't take advantage of it.
He did have a big play in one of the blue and gold games. Okay, one other thing Brian Kelly has said that 2016 is about doing ordinary things well, taking care of the football on offense and not giving up big plays on defense, which sounds like the rhetoric from former Notre Dame defensive coordinator Bob Diaco, bend but don't break. And I think with that, we're finished with just the overall picture. Let's talk more specifically about the offense. Starting with the quarterbacks, but before we do that, I want to get into fan essentials. How would you like to get all of your favorite NBA team merchandise? And they don't have a lot for college football. They only have one team at this point, but they do have the NBA, the NFL covered, and I believe the baseball as well. But you can get it delivered straight to your doorstep. Just go to fanessentials.net. You can pick your favorite sport, your team. You can pick your size, your gender, and it'll be delivered right to your door every month. It also would make a great gift, too, if you have a family member, father, brother, sister that's really into a team. Be a great gift for them as well. If you use promo code Irish Sports Talk, no spaces, at checkout, you get 15% discount. So normally it's $35. You can get it for under $30. And use promo code Irish Sports Talk. We will be giving away one per week of a free gift bag to one of our listeners. Just retweet this tweet about this podcast, episode 308, and we'll be picking a random winner from that. And we'll be announcing that on Thursday. So if you're listening to this later in the week, you do have time to retweet it. All right, talking about the offense, Randall, let's start with the quarterbacks. Brian Kelly was asked a lot about, obviously, when he wants to make up his mind, and he's not going to make up his mind, or he's not going to say when he's going to make up his mind. He, at one point on, I believe it was Saturday, he said he's, and I forget how he worded it, but pretty much, both of them are going to play until they tell them that they can't, which he was talking about Texas. And he even was asked, you know, would you consider playing a two-quarterback system? And he said, everything is on the table. So I don't think that's going to happen. I do think he'll end up picking one of the guys. I do think he'll be DeShone Kizer.
But the problem is he'll stretch it out. And I don't like that's always how it's gone. We always hope they'll make a decision early, but it always... It's basically up to the last week before they decide for sure, and I just don't like that. Just because the team, you want to know who the quarterback is, and he talked about the identity of the team, and he says the team is fine either way. It's not going to split the locker room. It doesn't matter which quarterback is in there, but it's still going to have an impact. It's still a different quarterback, a different guy, and somebody's not going to be happy. And so I don't care how much work you do in preparation for that. It's still going to have a little bit of an impact. And the sooner you can take care of it, the better.
I agree.
Do you honestly think that every year we have these quarterbacks, that it's that close that they can't make a decision until last week? Do you honestly think that?
Well, I do think it is close, but I do think Kizer is significantly better. But one thing Brian Kelly said is that in the spring, Zaire was at a huge disadvantage because he was pretty much trying to catch up. The offense had evolved under Kizer.
Yeah.
And then Malik was trying to catch up to where the offense was. So I think he took the spring with a grain of salt. And I do think it was a good idea that he didn't announce a starter at the end of spring.
True. I agree with that.
Anything can happen over the summer. But I also agree with you, though, that the sooner that they decide, the better it is. Sure, it would mean that there's the potential for the team to be split and to be dissatisfied with the choice, but that could happen a week before Texas as well.
Yeah, and that's what I don't like. I just don't. I'd rather they get comfortable. You know, you are still dealing with a left-handed, right-handed quarterback. It will still be the small details that you need to take care of that are going to matter during a game. You need to get those ironed out before you get to one of the games.
Do you believe there's any chance that they would do two quarterback system for Texas? Do you think there's any chance that both quarterbacks will play against Texas? For me, I think there's zero chance of that. That's not going to happen.
I pray every day that it doesn't happen.
But you could see it happen.
Oh, man, At this point, I don't know. Brian Kelly said over and over how they don't want to play two quarterbacks, but he has done it. And
he did it at Notre Dame, too, for one game.
He also mentioned it's going to depend how loud the fans are booing, so that's going to have an impact. I'm going to say this. I will say that both quarterbacks play against Texas, and it's because it's going to be a big win.
That's the only way I could see it happen.
And Brandon Wimbush is not going to be the quarterback to come in and mop up duty in a blowout win because he is redshirting, and Brian Kelly said there are no hard feelings at all, and he's going to redshirt.
I know. I don't think there ever were hard feelings from Brandon Wimbush or Brian Kelly. I think it was pretty clear from the beginning of this spring that he was going to redshirt, and I think he was fine with it, but I think it was kind of stirred up just from fans and the media.
I don't think fans and media like hearing that. He's that quarterback that's on the bench that hasn't played, and so he's the best one out there.
Okay, let's talk about wide receivers. Brian Kelly was asked which position group he'd want to find the stars and get figured out first, and the wide receiver group is what he mentioned.
That was kind of interesting to me because I think wide receiver is a little bit easier to throw in a new guy. If you have a good quarterback, which Notre Dame obviously has two quarterbacks that are good, I think it's a little bit easier on the receivers to throw them in there, the younger guys, and give them a chance. So I was a little surprised he mentioned that as the number one thing he wants to get figured out.
And again, when talking about guys that need to step up, he mentioned EQ, Corey Holmes, and CJ Sanders. Those three guys are guys that need to step up. And he also said that there might not be just one of those guys that steps up and makes a huge difference, but maybe a handful of guys, maybe four guys that step up and kind of help relieve that burden that was left from the three starting wide receivers last year that are gone.
One of the things he might want, one thing that factors into that is maybe the, now that they know that Alzay Jones won't be around, I know they had him at a couple of the wide receiver positions this spring, we're trying out different spots. They gotta figure something else out. Even though I think they've known it for a while that he wouldn't be around, I think they've gotta find a guy that can do the stuff that they wanted him to do on the field. And I think it's gonna be somebody like EQ or Miles Boykins even. I think with Alzay out, it gives Miles Boykin a better chance of getting on the field and getting playing time. But right. Torrey Hunter is the clear leader on this in the wide receiver group. And
he is, but he still hasn't proven that he can make a game-changing play. He has great hands. He is fast. I agree.
Thing is, he has by far the most experience. These guys don't have any experience, so.
I guess I'm just saying I don't put a whole lot of faith in any of them at this point.
Yeah. But it was good to see that he mentioned CJ Sanders there as a guy that, one leader to step up, and that it's good to hear that, knowing with his injury, it's hard to tell where he was going to be at coming back. But it sounds like he's right there in the mix and should have an opportunity at the slot position.
All right, ready to move over. Let's talk about the offensive line. I don't think there's a whole lot to discuss there other than Tommy Kramer is getting a shot at that right guard position along with Hunter Bivin and
Tristan Hodge.
So Hunter Bivin is kind of the guy leading that. There's also going to be a position at the right tackle behind or with Alex Bars, but Bars is pretty much set there. But it does surprise me a little bit that Tommy Kramer looks like legitimately getting a chance. I mean, I still think it's Hunter Bivin is going to be the guy, and I think the coaches feel that way too, but he is getting a chance.
They're definitely giving him the opportunity to win that job. He also mentioned Harrell as being the guy that can play all the positions, so he's very critical. He might not be fine with that starting job, but he's a guy that they can play at all the positions and a very good backup. Okay, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. He did mention, like, Alex Bars, he hasn't handed Alex Bars the right tackle position. Yeah. So he's still got to, I mean, it looks like he's going to have, but he's got to work for it.
We did talk about tight ends with Alex, but let's just go over those a little bit. He mentioned Durham, that he can do everything they need him to do. He can catch the ball. He can block. Wishard's gained weight, gained strength, so he can now do everything he needs to do as well. He's not just a one-trick pony. And then you got Matuska and Luatua that are kind of those primarily physical inline blockers. So I don't know. I think all four will definitely play this year. I don't know if Wisher... I'd like to see more of Wisher. I'm not sure where he's going to... How much of an impact he's going to make this year. And I was impressed with Durham this spring. I thought he looked decent.
I feel pretty confident in Smythe being that starter and being a blocker and a pass catcher. They were all catching passes in the practices, even Luatua. He's a big guy out there catching a pass. It'll be hard to bring him down if he actually catches it.
All right, and then finally, running backs. Dexter Williams was sick a little bit for a day, but they got some IV in him, and he's doing okay, I guess. Then that gave opportunity for Tony Jones to step up, and I guess he looked really good. I think Brian Kelly said that from the offense, the freshman that really jumped out to him and looked confident what he was doing was Tony Jones Jr. So he would still be, you know, that third guy. It's not like he's going to be ahead of...
Or a fourth guy.
Fourth guy, I mean.
But I still stick my... I think he's going to get some playing time this year.
Folston put on a few pounds, but looks really good.
They said he was even making some cuts that he hadn't made before his injury. So
I still think Josh Adams is the man, and I know that
Kirk Herbstreit.
It's not like he has enough time to look at every team in much depth and detail. However, Josh Adams was a guy he mentioned as far as having a breakout year.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that he picked Josh Adams. Out of all the college team, he picked Josh Adams to have a breakout year. And I guess it's, you know, a little debatable if it's a breakout year. I mean, he had a pretty good year last year. So how much of it is his actual breakout? But he expects him to have a big year. And I think that, too. I mean, I think Folston's obviously going to be the number one guy, but you always have more. We need more than one guy to have a good year. You need at least two guys to have a really good year.
I mean, I think Folston will probably start against Texas, but I do think as the season goes on, by the end of the season, Adams will have more carries.
No.
All right. I'm finished with the offense. You ready to talk about defense?
Yes.
On defense, let's start with the defensive line. One thing that surprised me is that he made the comment that how many plays he can get out of Jones, and he said, I think 20 to 30 or 25 to 30, somewhere in there. And it surprised me that that number wasn't higher.
Well, he said that about both Jones and Cage. So 20 to 30 from each of them.
That's going to be a problem possibly against Texas. If they want to run 100 plays. Now, I'm sure Notre Dame's offense is trying to slow that down as much as possible.
They have a true freshman. I'm not too worried.
I'm not worried about I'm not worried about Texas. I'm worried about teams wearing down our defensive line with a high number of snaps.
And I'm not quite as worried because these guys will switch in and out, and they'll also move Rochelle. You know what happened last year? Rochelle moved inside in some instances, and you got Jerry Tillery, and so I think we're okay. I was surprised. I agree with you. I was surprised that the number was that low. But we do have two good players that they can swap back and forth.
Kelly said they want to have a 4 to 5 man rotation if possible. He mentioned Elijah Taylor as the guy that's a strong guy that can hold the point and he can't be moved. So, but they still need to find two or three more guys that can fit that role.
Well, Jerry Tillery can obviously play. He's the more flexible guy. He can play inside, or he can play the three technique where Sheldon Day would have played. Cage is going to be that nose. He can't move around quite as much. And then Jones, is obviously somebody they want to have in there in passing situations. He obviously has more length and reach than what the other guys do. So I think they'll be okay with that. I'm not too worried about it, and they can maybe they can move Rochelle inside, but then you have to worry about the defensive ends because we don't have a lot of defensive ends, but maybe they'll get a chance to get the freshman defensive ends on the field and see what they have. Because right now, that's where we're hoping the pass rush is coming from, because we haven't seen it from the guys that we have.
And I think our defensive ends will do great in run against the run. But, yeah, getting after the quarterback, I'm not so sure. And when Kelly was asked what are some freshmen that impressed him over the summer, he didn't mention anybody on the defense. He didn't mention anybody in the front seven. He mentioned the cornerbacks and the safeties. And so I still have high expectations and hopes for Dalen Hayes making an impact, and I think he will. But we'll have to wait and see on that. Anything else, Randall, from the defensive line?
No, not really.
Actually, one other thing. Kelly mentioned that Isaac Rochelle has had just small injury problems that's kept him from completing his full workouts throughout the year. But this last season, this last summer from spring to now, he stayed healthy, and he looks good.
Well, he's had back issues for the last 2 years. They never fully recovered from. Wasn't some of his workouts, he wasn't doing as much just to try to protect his back, and he was having issues with that. So this is the first time in at least 2 years that he's actually been able to give it a full go and is 100% healthy. So that'll be kind of interesting to see how he actually, if that does make a difference in his play.
The most gains physically since his time at Notre Dame, so that's a huge positive.
I expect him to have a big year, and he'll be one of the captains on the team.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's move over then and talk about the linebackers. Probably the guy most fans are excited to see and looking forward to is middle linebacker Niles Morgan. And from what I heard from practice, it doesn't sound like he was getting yelled at a whole lot in the first day or so. So that's a positive. Kelly said he's gained the trust from the coaches and from the other players on the field as far as Niles Morgan. And again, he mentioned it is the most difficult position to learn.
Well, and the thing that you keep hearing about Morgan is that he now, he knows this is his team, and he has a little bit of a swagger, and it's the guys around him know it too. He's doing a good job. He can get the front lined up, and that's what the coaches want him to do. And it looks like he was just had a hard time getting there while he still had to deal with Joe Schmidt being in front of him. He just didn't put the effort in. I don't know what it was. Or you can take the side that the coach is just blowing a lot of smoke and he's not as good. This is their only option. But I'm on the side that I think he will have a huge year and knows what he's doing, that he has learned the defense. One of the things that stuck out to me, in talking about the defense, some of the player, or I forget which player it was, but they mentioned that the older guys now know this defense so that they can teach the younger guys. Before, it was this brand new defense. Even guys like Farley and Joe Schmidt, the veteran guys, they were learning at the same time the rest of the younger guys were. Now the guys that have been in the system for a couple years know what's going on, and they can help teach the younger guys, which gives everybody a better understanding of the defense. So I think that's, if you look at it from that point, that's very likely why Brian Kelly, what he saw and bring Van Gorder back this year. A lot of people would want him gone. But I think they see that player is starting to click, and now the players can actually help teach the system.
Well, no question. If Notre Dame has another defensive season like they did last year, there's no way Brian Van Gorder is around.
They're not going to.
But I do think there's reason for fans to be optimistic for what you said. Even if it's very difficult, there's still, once the old guys know it, you're not teaching it to 50 players, you're teaching it to 20 players or 10 players.
Yeah, the freshmen. But the linebackers situation, it seems like there's not that much to new as far as the starters. You know, you have Anualu and Morgan, but it looks a little scary with the backups. That's kind of the scary thing.
Well, and especially at middle linebacker. Because Greer Martini can pretty much, and he could come in at middle linebacker too, and Brian Kelly did say he might be training there as well. But right now it's Josh Barajas. And we know what happens if Niles Morgan goes down and your middle linebacker, which is the most difficult position to learn, the guy who's in charge of getting guys lined up, if he doesn't know what he's doing, your defense is going to have problems.
Oh, but you got veteran Max Redfield in the back at safety, the other hard position to learn that'll be able to line him up. I say that kind of sarcastically.
Yeah, I know, but it is important. Either they need to get the backup ready, whether it's Josh Barajas or Greer Martini.
Yeah, and they said Barajas didn't look very good. He was kind of confused on the first day of practice, but hey, it's the first day of practice. They're not in pads. Everybody has a bad day. The quarterbacks didn't look good either.
Let's talk. Okay, so the strong side, the Sam, is going to be James Anualu. On the weak side, I guess there's a little bit of question there. Coney and Asmer are both over there, and Greer's over there too, although Greer is cross-training. And I guess Asmer, he looks good, runs well, looks fast. Coney's physical, so I think we're in good shape there. Any more from you on that?
No, I think it's going to be those two working on getting the starting position on that. And have Martini thrown in there. I mean, let him compete for that starting job, too. You just never know what's going to happen. I could see Martini come in for games, you know, like against Navy this year or Army, you know, play against some of those teams.
All right, defensive backfield. So when Brian Clay was asked who are the freshmen that stand out, he said the defensive backs. And part of that's due because they've had consistency issues there at safety, and they get lost guys at corner. And so the defensive backs, there will be true freshmen that will be playing, according to Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly was asked at Max Redfield, did he look good? And that was after day one. And so he said, well, the problem has been consistency, so come back. The next press conference is going to be on Thursday. And he said, ask me then. If Max has three good practices, you know, he shows that he's consistent, then he's improved over where he was this spring. But yeah. Consistency has been his problem. So, I really hope that he gets it figured out.
It seemed like every other game he had a good game. So definitely needs to play every game. I mean, he's got Studstill was the freshman that, you know, got there. The coaches were raving about this spring. So hopefully with some of these young guys pushing him, it's got to hurt his ego a little bit if these younger guys are getting some attention because he hasn't stepped up his game.
And what does the other safety position look like? We've got Drew Tranquil there. We've got some freshmen vying for opportunity. Do you know what that's looking like?
Well, you also have Sebastian is there if he can stay healthy.
Well, it doesn't matter if he stays healthy. He's not gonna start.
Well, I'm not saying as a starter, but I'm just saying as a veteran player. I'm not sure. You got Fertitta out there, and there's actually not that many safeties with experience on the team.
Yeah,
I mean we've seen what's happened. That's why they took, what was it, 7. DBs in the last recruiting cycle. That's why they have so many young guys in there. It was interesting that he mentioned Dante Vaughn, you know, was a safety, was listed as a safety, but he said he's a cornerback. He's a 6'3 cornerback, and he's a cornerback.
And he looked good in the first practice. So.
And he did say that was a Birch mistake, and he kind of made a joke out of that. He said he's got a kid now, and he's got other things on his mind, so that's why it was wrong on the sheet.
But, I know, it was funny because he had just mentioned that Vaughn, in the press conference, he just mentioned that Vaughn is a cornerback.
Yeah.
He was talking about him, and then
the next
question or a little bit later, someone asked, you know, why he's listed at safety.
Yeah. But obviously Cole Luke has got the one side locked down.
Well, so at safety, though, so it's probably going to be Drew Tranquil.
Yeah. I think that's what everybody expects. Yeah. I don't like it, but that's... You know what's sad? You know what's when there's a deep ball, when there's a deep pass, there's going to be a lot of groans when you have to watch Tranquil and Redfield try to stop those guys.
Yeah, I think Tranquil
is going to be Notre Dame's Achilles heel on the defense is
the back,
the safeties. I mean, trying to stop, you know, those passes. They are not.
Drew Tranquil was great in close to the line of scrimmage, but I agree with you in pass coverage. Cornerbacks, the coaches think Sean Crawford is going to make a night and day difference, give them a lot of versatility as far as nickel and also just in their base defense. He's probably the leading corner opposite from Cole Luke. And will also probably be the starting corner nickelback. And then after that, I don't know, probably Coleman sounds like he's doing a really good job, but so does Devontae Vaughn. So
I was surprised not to hear more about Nick Watkins, but he is, you know, recovering from his injury. I kind of expected Nick Watkins to win that starting job, but
I think it's going to be Cole Luke and Sean Crawford, and then a nickel. I'm not sure who the third guy is going to be.
Well, Sean Crawford, the thing is, we're going to find out against Texas, because I think they'll be playing a lot of nickel against Texas. And I'm going to say it's going to be Coleman.
And we could even
see... It's going to be Coleman or Watkins.
We could see them switch out maybe that third corner.
Yeah. But it is scary. Who's your nickel if Sean Crawford gets hurt again?
Well,
last year, Notre Dame wouldn't play the nickel because they had no one to play the nickel.
Brian Kelly, I don't think he said who it was, but he said that we've got our nickel and our backup nickel. I don't remember his exact wording, but he said they have the backup, they have the nickel and the backup nickel figured out.
Okay.
But I'm not sure who it is.
Yeah, that's one thing they'll have to figure out, but hey, with all these younger guys, I think somebody can step in and you know, at least show up.
All right, let's talk a little bit about special teams. For punt return, CJ Sanders, it's his job. There might be a little bit of competition there, but there definitely will be some competition at kickoff return.
I like Brian Kelly's comment when they asked, you know, if anything is going to change up. And he said it's always open. The return game is always open unless you got somebody like Devin Hester on your team. Other than that, it's always open. You want to see what you have. Just because I think it's hard to put your top player. If CJ Sanders is going to be playing a lot the receiver position, it's just hard to put a guy like him out as a returner as well. But he definitely kept fans on the edge of their seats every time the ball was kicked to him last year.
Yeah. I think he becomes, with Alize Jones not being here this season, I think CJ Sanders becomes more important and will become more of a focus for the coaches to use in unique ways and try to get him opportunities down the field, but maybe...
But they have Corey Holmes. Got to remember that.
I know, but I'm starting to... I don't know.
They're not as high on Corey Holmes as they were in the
spring. Hearing Brian Kelly talk about CJ Sanders, it just makes me think maybe he's more of that special guy.
Yeah, but you could, for kick return, you could have some of these younger guys. There's running backs. There's different guys you could have back there returning kicks.
I guess one other thing, we did talk about offense earlier, but Stepherson, he continues to look pretty good, Randall. You have any thoughts on that? I think he'll play the most from all the freshmen, wide receivers.
Yes, we didn't really mention him with the wide receivers, but like I had said before, I don't think he's going to play as much as fans expect him to.
Well, even if he plays as much or little as Will Fuller did as a freshman, and this is not at all, Will Fuller didn't play much as a freshman. He had a handful of catches, but he didn't play very much at all, and I just could definitely see him getting 10, 15 catches. Maybe not 15, but 10 catches.
Well, you got a lot of young receivers. I think I think it looks a little bit different now that you have other freshman receivers there taking part in camp, and he might still be a good receiver, but he doesn't stick out quite as much as he did in the spring.
All right. I think that's all we've got for kind of our intro to fall camp. There is some recruiting news, though, Randall. Is that right?
Yes, we'll get the negative part out of the way. Osiris St. Brown, EQ's younger brother, did pick Stanford over Notre Dame. Said it was a 40-year decision. I'm not sure how it's that's a 40-year decision, and going to Notre Dame is not a 40-year decision. But he did decide to go to Stanford. So we'll be able to see brothers matched up. I think EQ and Osiris will be starting for Notre Dame and Stanford at some point. They won't really be playing against each other, but their teams will be playing against each other. And I'm hoping that because he went to Stanford, that the younger brother will actually come to Notre Dame. So I think that ups the chances a little bit more, but we'll have to wait and see on that. Notre Dame did receive another commitment, a 2018 commitment. They're doing great in 2018. And it's from inside linebacker Matthew Barr. I think Barr, Bear, I'm not sure. But he goes by Bo. And he's a four-star linebacker from Pennsylvania. And Notre Dame is making a haul out of Pennsylvania. In the 2017 class and 2018 class, they now have six players out of Pennsylvania. And all those guys had Penn State offers. And in the 2017 class, I think there's three guys from Pennsylvania. And Penn State currently has two from their state. One of those six guys that's committed to Notre Dame is Robert Hainsey, which is actually going to IMG Academy this next year. But he is from Pennsylvania. But Matthew, or Bo, as they call him, he did visit Notre Dame, came in for an unofficial visit, and ended up committing while I was there. A big pickup for Notre Dame. He's going to be a really good player.
All right, guys. If you're fantasy football fanatics, definitely check out this special deal from Pro Football Focus. You can get Pro Football Focus for free if you click on our banner over on our website. There's a logo with a special FanDuel offer. You can click on it. It'll take you over to the Pro Football Focus website. And there's three options. You get All Access, Fantasy Gold, or DFS Pro. The Fantasy Gold, which is $40 per year, you can get for free with a FanDuel deposit. So just click on that link under the Gold subscription, and you get Fantasy Gold from Pro Football Focus for free with your FanDuel deposit. And it's not a huge deposit. I believe it's $10. So really good deal. And check them out. And later this fall, we'll be having on one of their analysts from Pro Football Focus to give some insights and some numbers for Notre Dame, or possibly for some of Notre Dame's opponents. So definitely looking forward to that. Randall, anything for you before we wrap up the podcast?
Just some random news. Brady Quinn is now a dad. So he's been called a lot of things during his life. He's never been called a dad. So he's taking another step forward in life.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Do check out our website, irishsportstalk.net, and give us a follow on Twitter @irishsportstalk. Thank you for listening, and go Irish.
Go Irish.